Good morning. Let me echo the comments that were previously made and welcome all who have gathered here together to worship. We have visitors among us today. We certainly appreciate you being here. As we always say, that is an encouragement to us. And we always hope that and pray that we're an encouragement to you as well, that we reciprocate that. So thank you for being here and encouraging us. And please know that you're always welcome to be with us when you may have the opportunity. Appreciate all our members gathering together on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. God may be sending some rain our way, which is a blessing as well. So I know we all look forward to that, and we're grateful for that blessing. We're grateful for everyone who works to strengthen this congregation, the men who serve in different aspects of our worship service. I want to thank Chase for his insightful comments before the Lord's Supper. Brother, those were well said, and we certainly appreciate you helping us to prepare to share in a commemoration of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So thank you for doing that. That was certainly well said and well prepared. And thanks to all who gather here. As I looked at the auditorium this morning, it occurred to me that the Bell family has moved forward. And that threw me off a little bit, so I asked them before worship service what was happening. And Christy quickly said, "We have to keep our eye on you." Thank you. I'm glad someone is, because certainly that is something that's necessary. Now let's be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the New Testament. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll initially focus on one particular passage from that chapter, but then we'll expand on a topic that relates to something that the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. If you'd read along with me, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. And take note of an analogy that Paul makes to describe our faith and service to the Lord. Paul writes, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Obviously, the analogy that the Apostle Paul makes to our faith and service to the Lord is that of an athlete preparing for a competition or an athletic event. And there are many parallels that we can draw between our faith and service to the Lord and that athlete preparing for those events. The amount of focus and time and effort and dedication it takes for an athlete to prepare for a competition or an athletic event is similar to the amount of time and effort and energy and focus it takes for us to be a dedicated and faithful Christian. It's a different type of focus. It's a different type of energy. But there are certainly parallels between the two. If not, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have inspired Paul to make that comparison. But of all the parallels we can draw, I'd like to focus on just one today. It has a significant amount of importance because it's something that we all experience at one time or another. And sometimes often, as challenging as it can be in this world to serve the Lord at times, because of all of our competing requirements and interests, sometimes, like athletes, we suffer from fatigue. Spiritual fatigue. You know, for an athlete, that fatigue sets in physically or psychologically. But for us, sometimes we get fatigued in serving the Lord because of all the effort we put in and because it's that important to us. And therefore, it becomes vital that we understand the warning signs and how to cope with it, how to overcome the effects of spiritual fatigue. That's what I'd like to focus on here this morning for just a short amount of time. You know, Vince Lombardi, the legendary coach of the Green Bay Packers, once said to his players that fatigue makes cowards of us all. There's a lot of truth to that phrase. In sports, when an athlete gets fatigued, they're at a higher risk of injuring themselves. They're not as focused. They don't perform as well. And they tend to shy away from more effort because their mind is telling them to slow down or to stop. And that puts them at considerable risk. Well, spiritual fatigue puts us at considerable risk as well. Because as Paul wrote, we have a finish line that we're aiming for. Paul says there's an imperishable crown that awaits us at that finish line. He's writing about salvation. And God wants us to continue to make progress toward that finish line. And when we become fatigued, we tend to slow down, sometimes even stop. And we can get in that rut that just gets harder and harder to get out of the longer and longer we spend there. And again, there's not a Christian in this world that hasn't encountered that to one extent to another. And it's something that we will encounter from time to time. It's impossible that we don't. Again, if we're that passionate about our faith, at some point we're going to feel that sense of burnout or that sense of fatigue. So it's important for us to understand how to deal with it and how to respond. And of course, Scripture tells us how to respond, and that's where we'll go today. What does God teach us on that topic? But we'll look at it according to the analogy that Paul made of how an athlete prepares for and deals with the effects of fatigue. And you know, as with athletes, it all starts with conditioning. As an athlete is in the best shape they can be, they're going to perform better in a competition, and it's less likely that they'll encounter that fatigue. And when they do, they can better adjust to it and deal with it. Well, how do we train and prepare spiritually as we condition ourselves to prepare for that spiritual fatigue? So look at those basic building blocks of spiritual conditioning. How do we prepare to see the warning signs and react accordingly so we don't get bogged down in that rut? Next, we'll think in terms of rest and rehabilitation. Sometimes that's the best thing that an athlete can do, is just to slow down, even stop their training for a while in order to be rejuvenated, let their body heal, let them heal emotionally or psychologically so they can get back to their peak performance. Well, spiritual rest and rehabilitation is a little bit different, because God doesn't want us to stop. But sometimes we may need to stop or slow down some things that we're pursuing in our life that tend to interfere with our faith. We only have a certain amount of energy that we can give every single day. What do we give that energy to? All these other pursuits or to our faith? Yes, it should be a combination, but oftentimes we're so busy in life that we get overwhelmed and fatigued in general, and that just seems to manifest itself in our faith. And so we'll talk about that dynamic. And finally, we'll just think of some strategies that we can employ to increase our stamina along the way. Because yes, athletes condition themselves, but it's still very possible, even almost a certainty, that they would encounter some level of fatigue throughout the course of a competition or an event. And so they have strategies to deal with that along the way, so they can continue their performance and continue toward that finish line. Let's think of some strategies that we can employ spiritually to bolster ourselves when that fatigue sets in. Because again, it's not a question of if, it's just a matter of when. But it's something we can overcome, and God teaches us that we can. So let's look at what He has to say on the topic today so we fortify ourselves and so we can overcome those effects and keep moving toward that finish line. You know, before each topic, I'll bring up an example of someone that we read about in Scripture that encountered spiritual fatigue. Some of the people that I will reference are people that we look up to as pillars of faith. And they certainly are, but we'll see that there were times when they encountered spiritual fatigue. And that can help us to understand it's not just us. Even these examples of faith that we read about in the Bible, they encountered spiritual fatigue from time to time. They overcame it, and they continued toward that finish line as an example for us. So I'll begin each topic by bringing up an example from Scripture. And it begins with the topic of conditioning. If you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's read verses 24 through 29. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 29, because here our example comes from the Apostle Paul himself, who previously wrote this analogy of our faith and service to the Lord, comparing it to participation in an athletic event. And as we read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 29, I'll ask you a question. And I'd like you to think about this question as you read along and follow along and listen. Do you think Paul ever struggled with spiritual fatigue? Just keep that in question in mind as we read together 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 29. Again, the question, do you think that Paul ever struggled with spiritual fatigue? Paul says this, "From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. Let's pause. A lost count of the perils. That's a lot of perils. Let's continue in verse 27. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? Brethren, the obvious answer to the question is an emphatic yes. Paul struggled with spiritual fatigue. It is impossible that he didn't, thinking of all the challenges that he encountered once he made that commitment to serve the Lord. And he packages all those together here. It's interesting. Everything we read about there, we can find sprinkled throughout the book of Acts. You know, if you read the account of Paul and the journeys that he took, we find every one of these things happening to him given in that account. But in the book of Acts, they're all spread out. And it loses its magnitude. Here, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul packages them all together. And it really becomes very obvious how challenging, how difficult his life of service to the Lord was. And I do think it's interesting in verse 28, and I think this bears repeating. Paul had listed all these perils, all these hardships and challenges, but he says in verse 28, besides all of that, what comes upon me daily is my deep concern for all the churches. So Paul carried that weight as well. All of these challenges and hardships that he lists, on top of that, he was concerned for all of those congregations that he knew, all those Christians that he loved, because he knew that they were suffering from persecution, and they were new to their faith. And so he brings that up as well. That's a weight that he carries. Paul did encounter spiritual fatigue, but he was prepared, and he had conditioned himself. And we can follow that example as well. Just think about how an athlete conditions themselves for a competition. They train, they practice, they work out, they exercise, they lift weights so that they're in the best shape they can be when they go to that event or competition. What athlete that wants to be successful doesn't practice and train and prepare and condition themselves so they're better prepared to deal with the onset of fatigue? Why would it be any different with us, with our faith and service to the Lord? That we can condition ourselves as well. You know, Paul brings that up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27 from the passage we read together at the beginning of the lesson. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Paul says, in referring to his service to the Lord as a race, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Paul was prepared for all of those challenges. Doesn't mean they didn't affect him. It just means that he had conditioned himself. And let's think about how we train and condition ourselves. Those basic building blocks of spiritual conditioning might seem very obvious. First off, it's reading and learning God's Word. It's preparing to serve the Lord because God tells us how to deal with fatigue. God tells us what He expects. And the more we know about God's Word, the better we are prepared to deal with the effects of spiritual fatigue, or maybe to avoid them from the beginning. Not only do we study God's Word as a basic building block of spiritual conditioning, we meditate on His Word as well. And I think we don't pay enough attention to meditation. Because we read God's Word, we study, and we learn it, but do we take the time to really think about it and absorb it, reflect on it? And as it pertains to this topic, do we develop strategies based on our knowledge of God's Word to avoid or respond to the effects of spiritual fatigue? Because again, God tells us how to do that. He gives us encouragement. Do we take the time to meditate on His Word as we spiritually condition ourselves to increase our stamina in our faith and service to the Lord? Let's think of one other tool or reference resource that we have in that spiritual conditioning regimen, and that certainly is prayer. You're probably wondering when I was going to get to that. You know, God wants us to make it to that finish line. He holds that imperishable crown. He is offering us salvation. Why wouldn't He help us along the way? He certainly does. We can go to God in prayer. We can ask Him for help and for guidance as we turn to His Word as well. And that's a valuable resource that God has given us because, again, He wants us to be successful in that endeavor. He is waiting for us at the finish line. That's where he wants us to be, and he's there to help us as well. You know, something else we do to prepare to deal with the effects of that spiritual fatigue is to know the warning signs of when it's starting to set in. Because as I'm sure you have experienced, the longer you stay in that situation of spiritual fatigue, the harder and harder it becomes to get back on track, to pick up your pace again. You know, those warning signs are unique to each one of us as individuals. So it's important that we know what those look like, what it feels like. Here are some common ones, just in general. You know, if worship, reading the Bible, prayer starts to become a chore, and it's a toil, it seems like it's labor, that might be a sign that you're starting to drift into that sense of spiritual fatigue. Or if you stop attending as you should, if you stop associating with your brethren, if you feel yourself withdrawing, if you feel like your faith just isn't as meaningful as it was, those are all warning signs that something's happening and you're probably starting to step into that rut. The quicker you can identify it, you could either avoid it or you can step out of that rut more quickly and not get mired down in it. So it's important that we know ourselves, we know our own weaknesses, and we're prepared for fatigue. Just expect it. It's coming at some point in your life of service to the Lord. And most of us, if not all of us, have already experienced at one point or another. We know those warning signs. If we're honest with ourselves and we're attentive to what's happening in our lives and around us, we can catch it before it becomes such a significant issue. And Paul even states that as well. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and read verse 5. If you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from our former reading, just turn a few chapters forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. The Apostle Paul writes about the value of that self-awareness. And friends, we'll rely on the Apostle Paul in multiple situations today because Paul had so much to say about this topic. Why? Think about all those perils that we just read a few minutes ago. All those challenges and hardships. He knows a lot about the subject of spiritual fatigue. And so the Spirit inspired him to share his insights and experiences with us. And here in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, Paul writes of the importance of that self-awareness. He says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" Let me make a quick note about one particular word that he uses at the end of that verse, disqualified. It's the same word that he used in the first passage that we read together, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul makes that analogy of our faith and service to the Lord to a sporting event. He uses that same word, disqualified. It's a word that indicates that an athlete has been removed from an event or a competition. Why? Because they're not following the rules. You know, Paul includes in both of these references a subtle reminder that as we prepare to face spiritual fatigue, and as we face it, we have to do so according to the truth of God's Word. Because friends, you know as well as I do, there's a lot of people in that world, in this world around us, that would tell us how we should deal with that fatigue. It's not according to the truth of God's Word. And if we follow that and step out of that rut and begin movement again, we're not moving toward that finish line. It's not according to the truth of God's Word. That's how we prepare to face or even avoid spiritual fatigue, is by learning and acting on His will, the truth of His Word, responding to His authority, because if not, we're going in the wrong direction. So those are some points about spiritual conditioning, but let's think on the next topic, how an athlete responds to physical fatigue is through rest and rehabilitation. And as I said earlier, it's different for us as Christians. We just can't stop serving the Lord just to regain that stamina. We have to keep making some progress. That's really the point. Sometimes when we feel overwhelmed in our faith, just because we're overwhelmed in life in general, we have so many competing requirements and interests. We allocate so much focus and energy to so many things throughout our day, and it just saps us of that energy, and then we're feeling fatigued in our faith. Somehow it seems that it becomes manifested in our service to the Lord. Our example from Scripture comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. If you join me and read this familiar account, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, Jesus is visiting the home of the sisters Mary and Martha. in the village of Bethany. And the two sisters respond quite differently to having Jesus in their very home teaching God's word. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, as we think of those symptoms of becoming overwhelmed in life and how that can impact upon our faith and service to the Lord. Now, it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You know, in his response, Jesus never uses the word priority. That's what he's speaking about. Because he says that Mary has chosen that one good part. Jesus says in verse 42, there's one thing that's needed. He's saying our faith is the most important aspect of our life. Think about what Martha was doing, though. She was busy tending to the needs in the household. You know, the things that Martha was doing weren't sinful or evil. They were actually admirable to an extent. And she was actually doing what her culture had taught her to do all her life, which was to be a good host of somebody that has come to visit your home. She was doing what society would have said she should be doing. But Jesus says that her priorities are confused. They're reversed. Because he says there's one thing you should be doing right now with the Son of God in your home. You should be listening as I teach God's word. What a missed opportunity. Not because Martha was engaged in wickedness and sin. She got overwhelmed with all of these other requirements and all of these other priorities that crept in and affected her relationship with the Lord and her ability to do something that God would want her to do. I think that's something that we can all be familiar with to one degree or another. Again, we can't stop serving the Lord. That's not spiritual rest and rehabilitation. It just means sometimes we need to evaluate how we're spending our time and focus and energy. Because if we get so worn out doing so many other things, that's going to affect our faith. We're going to feel it in our relationship with the Lord. Because sadly, so many times, society has conditioned us to maintain the priority of all those other things with our job, with our family, our career, our education, our social responsibilities, our hobbies and interests. Society tells us those are the important things. And if you have time, allocate that to your faith. Isn't that backwards? Think of it in terms of a bucket. You get up in the morning and you've got a bucket full of energy and focus. And it's up to the brim, but that's all you've got. So how do you use it every day? Do you dip into that bucket and allocate that energy and focus to all of those other requirements and then look down at the bottom of that bucket toward the end of the day and see that you have a little bit of energy and focus left and that you dedicate to your faith and service to the Lord? Should be the other way around. Dip into that bucket and allocate as much energy and focus as you can to your faith and you'll get to all those other things. That's what Martha was doing. She was focused on everything else but what she really should have been focused on. We have to think that Martha was getting worn out as well. Jesus says, focus. There's one thing right now that's important. There's truly one thing in our life that's the most important, and that's serving the Lord. Doesn't mean we have to forsake everything else. It just means sometimes as part of that spiritual rest and rehabilitation program, we just have to reprogram what we're doing in life and refocus. Sometimes, yes, that means slowing our pace. Society would tell us we have to pick up the pace. Sometimes it's beneficial that we just slow down and we focus on the basic tenets of spiritual conditioning. I'd ask you to be turning to Psalm 143. We'll read verses 5 through 8. Psalm 143, verses 5 through 8. The psalm, as many were, was written by King David ages ago. Now, I would assume that David was fairly busy with some significant responsibilities ruling over God's people. David certainly made his mistakes, but David had a tremendous amount of responsibility. And I'd have to think that David suffered from fatigue from time to time. But here in Psalm 143, verses 5 through 8, David writes about the importance of getting back to the basics. so that we can build up our stamina from there. Psalm 143, verses 5 through 8. Let's read this together, and let's think of some points of application from this particular passage. David says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. David mentions those building blocks of spiritual conditioning that we thought about just a few minutes ago. He writes about the benefit of meditation. He is praying to the Lord, and he speaks of the benefit of our knowledge of God's Word. You know, sometimes it's interesting, and it sounds contradictory or counterintuitive. We are busy serving the Lord, and we do so much as faithful Christians that we can start to burn out. Sometimes it's important that we have the ability to be honest with ourselves and reduce our pace to a degree. That's what a runner would tell you. The last thing that a long-distance runner wants to do when fatigue starts to set in is to start walking or stop running, stop making any forward progress, because it is almost impossible to get started running again. And so it goes with our faith. God doesn't want us to stop. Sometimes it's important to slow our pace, because we can be doing so much in our effort to serve the Lord that quantity starts to become more important than quality. And we think because we're doing a lot of things to serve the Lord that we're doing what He wants us to do, but it might be that we're not doing it with the sincerity and the focus that we should be. And you know, when we get to that point, it's okay to scale back a little bit and go back to those basics that David writes about and build back up from there, so that we do those things in a meaningful way, in a sincere way. And we're not just doing it to go through the motions, to get credit for all those actions, but the things we're doing are quality. And therefore, we can pick our pace up again. So sometimes it's important and it's useful to slow the pace, to enter into that program of rest and rehabilitation spiritually, so we can build our spiritual stamina back up. Let's think about our final topic, what we do throughout the course of that race to deal with the effects of spiritual fatigue. What do we do along the way to increase stamina? Athletes develop strategies to do that along the way, and so can we. Our example comes from Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 through 15. Numbers 11, verses 10 through 15, as I said at the beginning of the lesson, some of the examples we look at today are people that we look up to as pillars of faith, and such examples of the strength of their faith and service to the Lord. But again, they were human. They encountered spiritual fatigue just like we do. Well, here in Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 through 15, I'd have to say that I believe that this is Moses at his rock bottom. This is Moses at probably one of the most challenging times in his life. And he calls out to the Lord. And admittedly, at the end of this passage, Moses says something very extreme. But it just acknowledges the depths of the fatigue that he had sunken into. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 through 15, the people were complaining that they didn't have meat to eat as they wandered through the wilderness. God had given them manna. All they had to do is get up every morning and collect it. They had everything they need, all the nourishment, but it's not what they wanted, because they wanted meat to eat. So as they typically do, they came to Moses. They laid that problem on him, and they blamed him, and at this point, Moses had had enough. Numbers chapter 11, verses 10 through 15, this is an extreme representation of spiritual fatigue. Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to bear all these people alone, because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, Do not let me see my wretchedness. Again, friends, that's an extreme statement. But Moses had had enough. God recognizes this for what it is. It's a cry for help. Because Moses acknowledges in this statement that he can't do this alone. He's carrying all the weight of responsibilities on his shoulders. And he does say that extreme or make that extreme statement. If this is my life, just end it now. We may never ever enter the depths of spiritual fatigue like Moses does, but we can relate. We would never have the responsibility and the challenges that he has, but we struggle from time to time in life, and sometimes we've just had enough. But Moses teaches us a couple of things that are very important. One, to a prior point, what does Moses do? He's praying. He's calling out to the Lord. He's going back to the basics. And God listens to that prayer, that cry for help, and he answers. Because if you keep reading, God will do two things. First off, he's going to give the people meat to eat. He says, I've got that. I'll take care of that. It's interesting, he does it in a way, though, that still teaches the people a lesson, kind of under the terms of be careful what you ask for. If you continue to read, God says to Moses, I'll give the people meat. They want meat? I'll give them meat to eat. I'm going to give them so much meat that they're going to get sick of it. What does God literally say? I'm going to give them so much meat, it's going to be coming out of their nostrils. So he's going to teach the people about complaining. God's going to handle that. But he does something else that can help Moses with his fatigue, something very similar he does for us. Because God answers by appointing men in that group as elders or leaders of the people so that Moses doesn't have to shoulder all that burden on his own. Because that's what Moses says, I can't do this alone, so God answers. You don't have to do it alone. Let's pick men that can help you do that, that you can delegate to, that can help you carry some of that responsibility. I'd ask each and every one of you that belong to this congregation, just look around this room. Just look at one another and your brethren. It's a blessing from God. He's given us each other to help us through those times of spiritual fatigue. And we can reach out to one another and ask for help. And that's why God designed the church the way he did. Thinking about it in terms of an athletic competition, thinking about Paul's analogy, friends, this is a team sport. And we are here to help one another. And if you fall into that rut of spiritual fatigue, reach your hand out to somebody that can help. Because like Moses, we don't have to go through this alone. And again, I'd ask you to look around this auditorium. Every single Christian here has encountered spiritual fatigue to one degree or another. So we get it. We've all been there. And it can be so challenging to admit that you're struggling and to ask for help. But that's the best way to make it out of that rut. We can be there for one another and encourage each other. Let's flip that around as well, acknowledging how difficult it can be to admit that we're struggling and ask for help. We don't have to wait for someone to ask for help. If you start to see those warning signs in a brother and sister in Christ, reach your hand out to them. Because they may not want to acknowledge that they're struggling. We don't have to wait. Friends, I've been in that rut before. Whether someone knew it or not, they've reached out to me and offered me words of encouragement, and it picks me right up. In a minute, we'll think about how hard it is to take that first step out of the rut. That'll be the last point in the lesson. As hard as it is, sometimes just a few words of encouragement can help that person take that first step. And that means that we have to get to know one another. We have to associate with each other as this Christian family and build those relationships. Why? So that we can see those warning signs and act on them. We can help one another out. How do we do that if we really don't know each other? If the only time we spend together is in this room on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday evenings, then how do we build those relationships where we can help one another? That's what it means to be a congregation. We reach out to one another and help. That's how God answered Moses' prayer. That's how he answers us. He has given us one another to help us through those times of spiritual fatigue. The last point I'll make really is a general point. It's a summary of the sermon right before the conclusion. Sometimes the most important thing we can do when we're in that rut is to take a first step out. And friends, I understand how hard that step can be because it seems when we're in that rut, that's the last thing we want to do. We almost convince ourselves that that's where we should be. It kind of perpetuates itself, and I think that's the devil at work. He wants us to stay in that rut. He doesn't want us anywhere near that finish line. Sometimes the hardest thing we can do is just do something that God wants us to do. But that's really the last point. When you find yourself in that situation, do something that God wants you to do. Take a step. Open your Bible and read. Meditate on God's Word. Pray that God would help you to get out of that rut. Hold your hand out and grasp somebody's hand that would help pull you up out of that rut. Maybe just go and do something good for someone else. Because I don't know if you've noticed the same thing, but oftentimes when we struggle with fatigue, if we go and help someone else with anything, it just has a way of picking us up as well. Do something and then do something else that God wants you to do. And then do something else that God wants you to do. Before you know it, you're out of the rut and you're walking toward that finish line again. And before you know it, you're jogging toward that finish line again. Before you know it, you see where this is going, you're running toward that finish line. But you have to start that healing and that recovery with a first step. Do something that God wants you to do. Avoid that voice in your head that's telling you just to stay in that rut. But take that first challenging step to get back on track. The last passage of Scripture I will read, we'll read together, not surprisingly, once again, is from the Apostle Paul. Let's read Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul knows about spiritual fatigue, and here he gives us encouragement. We may encounter it, but there's a way out. You know, Paul writes this in terms of the fact that we can control that fatigue. It's coming, it's going to happen, but we can actually avoid it if we condition ourselves. So with that in mind, let's read together Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." As Paul says, almost as a commandment, don't grow weary, don't lose heart. And that just reminds us that we can control that. We're in control of our faith. If we start to drift into that rut, we can turn it around and start heading toward that finish line again. And Paul says, do good. Do something that God wants you to do to stay out of that rut or to get out of the rut of spiritual fatigue. Now, in conclusion, in 1979, Neil Young, the singer-songwriter, put out an album that began and ended with a very similar song. They were done in different styles. The lyrics are slightly different. The titles are different. But the songs are virtually the same. And those songs include probably Neil Young's most well-known lyric, probably one of the most well-known lyrics in popular music history. Neil Young says, "It's better to burn out than to fade away." Never thought I'd quote from Neil Young in a sermon, by the way. It's kind of a strange connection. I'm not a big Neil Young fan, but that phrase speaks to me as it applies to the point of the lesson today. Because the point he makes, it's better to burn out than to fade away. In one version, he says it's better to burn out than to rust. Similar point. Oftentimes, the things in our lives that are most important to us are the things that cause us to burn out or to experience fatigue. Because there's things that we care about. And we apply effort and energy and focus. And it's natural to understand that sometimes we would encounter that sense of burnout. And the point he makes is that's actually a good thing. He says it's better to have something to burn out about than to have nothing at all, as he puts it, than to just fade away. Well, think about how important our faith is. Jesus told Mary and Martha, it's the most important thing in our lives. That one thing, as he says. If that one thing is so important, of course we're going to exert energy and effort into our faith and service to the Lord. And that just means sometimes we'll get burned out. We'll get worn out. We'll get tired and weary. We'll encounter that sense of spiritual fatigue. But it's all worth it. Because the crown that we seek to obtain is described as that imperishable crown. And that's what awaits us at the finish line. So it's worth the journey. It's worth the fatigue. It's worth the burnout. Because that just means our faith is that important. So let's acknowledge it. Let's prepare for fatigue. And let's cope with it. And let's help one another respond. So we all continue to make progress toward that finish line. Friends, that really is an invitation. You know, if you're not a Christian, I'd like you to consider one thing, thinking about this athletic analogy. If you believe, you're standing at the starting line, but you haven't started the race yet. But you can. Come and confess Christ as your Savior. Be baptized. Start that journey toward that finish line, because you can see it in the distance. And if you believe, and you know it's there, and you know what awaits you, you just haven't started yet. So take the first step. Come and be baptized. Begin that journey. You'll experience fatigue along the way. That's a fact. But God will guide you through that. And your brothers and sisters will be there to help you. And if you are a Christian and you're somewhere along that path, but you've gotten bogged down, and you're not serving the way you should, and you're not reaching out, you have an opportunity. Come and let your teammates know what we can do to help you so that we continue to make progress together toward that finish line. No judgment, no shame, because we've all been there. If you don't reach out now, reach out sometime soon, because you don't have to go it alone. Moses didn't have to go it alone. We don't have to, because we have each other. So if that is your desire to become a Christian, or you are a Christian and you're in need of assistance, won't you respond to the invitation as we stand together and we sing?